And so what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I do appreciate God's grace and goodness to me. In fact, kind of, you know, piggybacks on what we sang. You know, it's not to say I was down. I wasn't down. I'm always rejoicing. Praise God for that. You know, but I was really blessed. And it wasn't until I got the blessing that I realized how much I not just, you know, enjoyed it, but how much I needed the blessing from God. And so let me just start this way, and this will kind of segue into the message. Well, let me just give the title first. It's Close to Our Heart Equals Close to Our Mouth. So close to our heart equals close to our mouth. And what do we mean by that? Well, I was really blessed yesterday, in fact, at the Riverview Bible study. I do that every Wednesday. And, of course, that was, you know, I enjoy doing it anyway. But lately, it's been, you know, our group has shrunk, you know, at the height, you know, I guess, glory times, you know, we had maybe about 8 of the residents showing up. Sometimes I'll bring a couple of my kids with, and so with me there, we hit close to a dozen, you know, we're kind of pretty jammed in there. Well, over time, some of them pass away, some of them move on, and so in season, out of season. So right now, we just have the 2 ladies who are there, still faithfully coming, so that was a blessing. And so I'll do it even for one, okay? And so, but, you know, most of these are elderly, you know, they're widows. And so I'm blessed to just visit with them, and we go to the Bible study. And so nonetheless, I was blessed to be there again yesterday. But yesterday, extra blessing, I got to meet a brother in Christ. I got to meet a brother in Christ. I was not expecting that. And this just really blessed me, not just that he saved, but just his humbleness. The joy of the Lord that he had in his heart was very, very evident. He is late 50s, maybe that's my guess. Nice guy, simple guy, simple man, but he was spouting scriptures left and right, and so I was just so blessed to meet him. It was very evident that he loved the Lord. He kept sharing even during the Bible study. He kept sharing scriptures. You know, talking about salvation. I said, yeah, you know, Bible says. And in fact, he shared the Romans Road. I'm like, yeah, this is great. You preach it, brother. But again, he wasn't trying to be bossy. He was real humble, but he just had the joy, just kind of joyfully gushing from him, from his mouth, you know, because I knew he had the Lord in his heart. And he was just excited to be there. He was saying, yeah, the Bible says we're all come short of the glory of God, that you have to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. I was like, yeah, hey, this guy knows his verses. He even shared about the great white throne judgment. He said, yeah, the Bible says, whosoever name was not found written in the book of life or cast into the lake of fire, you don't want to go there. I said, yeah, this is great. So I was really blessed just meeting him, having him there. He actually got to even share his testimony. You know, he grew up in Milwaukee. You know, he attended, Risen Savior Fellowship with his parents growing up, you know, when he was a teenager. And I guess that fellowship type group, maybe it's a similar type of a group that Dick and Kathy attended for a while. You know, and then he shared he got saved as a teenager when his older 18-year-old brother sadly died in a motorcycle accident just 2 blocks away from their house. You know, that was really sad, kind of shook him up, but that's how he got saved. But he was very candid, and he continually just was praising the Lord. In fact, that's all he talked about was the Lord, how the Lord saved him, how wonderful the Lord is. He even passed out tracts, and so he had a tract. And it's the How to Get to Heaven from Warsaw. You might have seen it. It's got a barn on the front. It's a pretty colorful tract. It's, you know, as I've seen it around, I think we might have some here too. So he passed it to one of the ladies who's been coming, and it just really blessed my heart to see him so engaged. You know, and I could tell his heart is close to the Lord. That the Lord wasn't just some distant savior. You know, he did not have a long-distance relationship. I guess this was my aha, just kind of rubbing shoulders with this brother. He did not have a long-distance relationship with God, with the Lord. It sounded as though he just was chatting with the Lord and then came down to the Bible study. I mean, that was how fresh. And it was just a real boost in the arm for myself. And it brought to my mind our verse tonight. So let's go there. So let's go to Romans chapter 10. And so I was really blessed, just really encouraged me. I invited him out to church. Hopefully he comes. He says, you know, he'll try to make it kind of thing. So let's go to Romans chapter 10. Of course, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Let's go to verse 8. And a wonderful scripture here. And let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let's go to verse 8. And the word of God says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, this, of course, is a salvation verse. But the principle is this. If Scripture is in our heart, it will be in our mouth, whether in praise or prayer. Yes, it starts with salvation, but then it continues throughout our whole life. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord, to be here. I thank you, Father, for just your blessings, Lord. And, you know, I just praise you for it, Lord. I was just kind of going through my day, you know, just, you know, praising you. But I'm so thankful that that was really a good extra surprise, Lord. I just was so blessed to meet this brother. And just thank you for the Bible study, Lord, and just continue to open doors and touch hearts that way. But thank you, Lord, that you care for us, that we can just cast all our cares upon you. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. And thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who comforts us, who seals us, who empowers us. And Lord, that Lord, we need to be comforted. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your sovereignty. And bless now tonight, Lord. Speak to hearts, Father. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we would hear from heaven on high. And Lord, what a challenge and what a reminder to hold near and dear to our heart. So it comes out our mouth, your truth. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, it starts with salvation. This is a salvation passage, of course. But if you go to verse 1, this is kind of where Paul is coming from. You know, his heart's desire, you know, he's kind of, you know, lamenting because his beloved, you know, Israel, his own people, they're so near yet so far. And so let's go to verse 1. So it starts with salvation, okay? And he says, brethren. And it's, you know, it's, boy, he's talking to fellow believers. And a lot of these believers at Rome are not Jewish, okay? They're Gentiles. But because of the blood of Christ, they are closer to him than his very own blood family, right? And so he's sharing a prayer request, but he's also kind of lamenting, you know, and kind of like, so sad, so disappointing, because so near yet so far. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. This is the nation of Israel. Again, in general, yes, there are some Jews that were saved, Nicodemus, you know, praise God. Okay, but by and large, the nation of Israel, they're not. So his prayer is that they might be saved, you know, and it's so frustrating, it's so sad for Paul, because that's how he was before he got saved. And his fellow brethren, you know, the blood family, okay, the Israelites are so close to having everything, yet because they reject Christ, they have nothing. You know, salvation is right there in Jesus Christ. You know, Israel, his nation had met the Savior. Jesus had grown up among them. Jesus had worshipped literally every Sabbath at the temple in Nazareth. Jesus had gone with his mom and dad 3 times a year, you know, kind of thing, to the annual feast in Jerusalem. And so they knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. He was right there, the Messiah to be received, yet they rejected him, right? They didn't want him. John tells us Jesus came unto his own received him not, you know. So Paul's like, so close. I mean, just get over the hump, Israel. Just want to get saved. And so he's so heartbroken about that. That's his prayer. Now, how does Paul know this, that Israel had rejected Jesus? Well, of course, they rejected Jesus Christ in their hearts first, and that was evidenced by their mouth, okay? And so I just want to draw the correlation here between the heart and the mouth, how it's intertwined. This is our human nature. This is how God hardwired us. You know, we cannot see people's hearts, but Jesus said we will know them by their fruits. In fact, Jesus says by their own fruits, okay? This is how anyone would know us, is by our own fruits. Jesus specifically says, own fruit. Not by anyone else's fruit, not by my family's fruit, not by my church's fruit, but my own fruit. Because, Jesus adds, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. I mean, our individual hearts. Our mouth speaks. What we think in our heart, what we believe in our heart, comes out in our mouth. And Paul knows Israel rejected Jesus because, remember, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. They rejected Jesus already in the heart, and the mouth follows suit. In fact, let's go to Luke 23. This is one of the many, of course, crucifixion accounts. There's four of them. But let's go to Luke chapter 23. And then let's go to verse 13. Luke 23. Let's start in verse 13. And as we read this, I want us to observe, of course, who's all there in verse 13. But I want us to observe who is confessing what. Okay, you have the crowd, and then you have Pilate. And, of course, there's a conversation back and forth. But I want us to see, of course, what they're confessing is what they believe. Okay, so it starts in the heart. If, again, the whole principle, if God's word is in our heart, it'll be in our mouth. Okay, so let's go to verse 13. This is kind of the setup. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people. So everyone's there. This is not just the guards and the chief priests. It's everyone else. The people are there too. The commoners, the Jewish, you know, people are there. So Pilate, verse 14, says unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I have examined him before you. I have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to you, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him. And he shouldn't even do that, okay? And release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. So here Pilate confesses, literally, Jesus is innocent. You know, doesn't make Pilate saved, okay? Doesn't mean his say, but Pilate unknowingly proclaims, well, scriptural truth that Jesus is the innocent lamb. You know, and so he's saying it, hey, I followed up on what you accused him of. I don't think he's guilty. He's innocent. You know, even Herod, you know, hey, there's nothing, you know, worthy of death. And so he's innocent. Of course, he's going to chastise him anyway to appease the crowd. But nonetheless, Pilate is proclaiming Jesus as innocent. For the record, he's innocent. Well, let's look at verse 18. And they, so this is everyone there, verse 13. And they cried out all at once, saying, so what are they confessing here? Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. So now everyone confesses that they want Barabbas. Well, look at verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. So Pilate confesses again that Jesus is innocent. So there's this back and forth again. And then verse 21, of course, they don't take it. Verse 21, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Wow, everyone confesses that they really want Jesus crucified. In fact, how badly do they want him crucified? In fact, the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say they said, crucify him, crucify him. The Bible says they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Okay, so they are yelling. They're yelling it out. In fact, they yell it out twice. Okay, so tell us how you really feel, right? No, so there's no ambiguity there. I mean, so they're really letting Pilate know, crucify him, crucify him, right? So they're shouting at the top of their lungs. Again, because this is what they have in your heart, it shows on the mouth. Okay, they're intertwined. So now Pilate, look at verse 22, and he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. So Pilate again confesses a third time that Jesus is innocent. Like, hey, this guy is not worthy of your hatred, your wrath, of killing. He's innocent. Verse 23, and they were instant with loud voices. Again, what the heart believes, the mouth will confess, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Wow. In fact, when Pilate asked in John, he says, shall I crucify your king? Remember what the chief priest confessed? He said, we have no king, but who? But Caesar. Man, they're hell-bent on rejecting Jesus in the heart. The mouth would also reject, right? In fact, Matthew's account adds this. If you go to Matthew 27, and then verse 24, says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, I mean, he's like, okay, I'm not going to change his crowd. Okay, these guys are, they're dig deep. Okay, they're planting their heels in. They're not going to be swayed. But that rather a tumult was made. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Again, you can say the fourth time. He's saying Jesus is just. He's innocent, okay? And I'm going to wash my hands here. He says, see ye to it. So this is on you. And then look at what they say in verse 25. Then answered, again, not just the chief priests, not just the guards, everyone, all the people, and said, what we have in our heart will be in our mouth. His blood be on us and on our children. Wow. So Pilate's final confession is Jesus is innocent. The crowd's final confession is, it's okay. it's on us. His blood of this innocent, just man will be on us. I mean, they really wanted it because what we have in our heart will come out in our mouth. Now, what we have also on the positive side, now this is a very negative view when they reject Jesus, but the reverse is also true because when we truly have Jesus and his word in our heart, it will come out on our mouth. Same thing. If you think of David's testimony, I have several verses here. There's plenty more. But I narrowed it down to just this selection. Let's go to Psalm 17. In fact, they're all Psalms. But let's go to Psalm 17. And so the mouth reveals the heart. And so let's go to Psalm 17. On the flip side, okay, as opposed to that tough crowd, here we have tender King David. So let's go to Psalm 17, verse 1. It says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my what? Cry. He's speaking with the mouth because his heart's in tune with God. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of what? Feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine what? Heart. He's speaking to God with unfeigned lips because his heart is right with God. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. The purpose comes from the heart, and then the heart reigns in the mouth. Okay, so those are intertwined. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and then just one verse, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. And we know this verse, you know, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. These are mentioned in one breath, in one verse, because the mouth and the heart are intertwined. What we have in our heart is in our mouth. Psalm 34. Let's go to Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. These are all Psalms of David. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. How do we bless the Lord? How does he do it? His praise shall be continually in my what? Mouth. Mouth, mouth, mouth. You know, it just kept coming up. And again, this is what really reminded me of this dear brother when I met him yesterday. He was, again, he's just sitting there. He's got some of the shakes, you know, but he's just so happy. And he couldn't stop praising the Lord. that was refreshing for me. I'm not the only one saying praise the Lord. Okay, that was a joy. And so that was exciting. He was continually praising the Lord. I could tell he was saved. I could tell he knew he was saved. I could tell he rejoiced that he was saved, thankful to be saved. Let's go to Psalm 40. Again, we can tell David rejoices to be saved. Let's go to Psalm 40, verse 3. Speaking about being thankful for being saved, verse 3, Psalm 40 says, he hath put a new song in my what? Mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And so God put a new song in his mouth. He's going to sing it. He's going to proclaim it. I love the song services. That's a blessing. But the context is verse 1 and verse 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my what? Cry. Because when David's heart is yearning for the Lord, guess what? His mouth cries out to God. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's amazing. He is rejoicing because God saved him when he cried out to God. And in Psalm 51, even after he was saved, when he sins, of course, this is with Bathsheba, God still forgives him. And David is so thankful to be forgiven. He's faithful and just. God is to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, even adultery. And so let's go to verse 15, Psalm 51. Now David is rejoicing not just that he's saved, but that God forgave him. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And I like the imagery of this, and this is at least how it comes across to me. You know, David is almost telling God if he kind of pries his mouth open, you know, kind of just opens the mouth of David, that praises will kind of just gush out, because that's what's in his heart, you know. And so, like, oh, you know, whenever he opens it, oh, praising God, you know, as soon as he opens his lips, he's going to praise God, because that's what's in his heart. And that's huge. In fact, there's more verses, but, you know, we kind of get the picture, amen. You know, and we have everything, friends, in Jesus. You know, we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to look anywhere. We don't have to do anything. All we need to do is believe. Just believe. Yes, we believe to get saved. But once we are saved, in fact, that's what 1 John 5:13 tells us, we can keep on believing. We don't have any reason to not believe, right? We trust God with our soul's salvation. We can trust God for anything. John says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So they're saved, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe, in other words, continue believing, on the name of the Son of God. And so let's go back to Romans 10. We kind of wrap it up here. Let's go back to Romans 10 where we started. Romans 10. Romans 10. And let's go to verse 6. And again, you know, Paul is just like, oh, come on, Israel, you guys can do it. Get saved already. And so Romans 10, verse 6. And so he says here, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So not of the law of Moses that cannot save, that only condemns. That is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And this is where Israel is stuck right now. Unbelieving Jews said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Jesus already ascended. He is the Savior that already came. Israel, you saw him. You hosted him. And then you crucified him. He already went to heaven. He's the one that takes us to heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. He already went there. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Christ already died. He already rose from the dead. You don't have to wait for another Savior to come, quote unquote, Savior to come, and then die and raise from the dead. No, Jesus already did that. He is already a done deal. It's fulfilled in Jesus. You don't have to look for another Savior. He's right there. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's right there, Israel. You just got to believe Jesus. You just have to believe the word. It's right in front of you. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Of course, they reject it. But if they received it in their heart, it'll bubble up into their mouth. Okay, because what's in the heart is in the mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou, and here's where it's kind of intertwined, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. He's the one that you're waiting for. You don't have to wait for someone else, like in verse 7. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confessing doesn't save you, but it shows your heart's belief is real, and that saves you. You truly believe in your heart. What's in your heart will be in your mouth, in my mouth. The application for us, of course, we don't have to look anywhere for fulfillment, for joy, for truth, for direction. It's all right here in front of us. It's right there. It's God telling me, Wing, it's right there, right near to your heart. Just get it in there. Hide God's word in my heart. Then I won't sin against him. And I don't need to go for these self-help books. How do I not sin? And it's right here. I just need to believe it. And just right there, just little nudge. It's like I don't know, watching golf, you know, and the ball is almost at the, you know, almost at the hole. You're like, going in. Yes. Oh, you know, just believe it. It's right there. We are saved and when with God's word in our heart, and then of course in our mouth we confess what we believe. We therefore, of course, live with God's word in our heart and in our mouth, and it shows forth in praises, in song, and in prayer, which we'll do tonight. I'm so excited for midweek service. It's a wonderful thing. So how often do I talk to God? Think of David. How often do I talk to others about God? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought. Thank you, Lord, just for who you are. Thank you, Lord. We have it all right here. Help me just to believe it. I'm just right there. Lord, and what a joy to have your word in our heart, and it will show on our mouth if it's in our heart, Lord. And so it starts in the heart, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for hearing us, Lord, and we desire an audience with you even now. We claim it by faith that you tell us that you want us to pray with you, that this is such an awesome thought, awesome truth. And so bless now this prayer service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise